Okay, everybody, welcome to Course in Miracles. Now, we have a lot of things I would hope we can cover tonight. The theme that we're working on, hey, Judy, the thing that we're working on, as same as last week, and it will be next week too, is this gift in A Course in Miracles, which is titled Responsibility for Sight. And there's some italics on that page, wonderfully highlighted for us, so that we can't miss the importance and the specificity of the lesson where it says, I am responsible. And we're working on those italics together. And tonight, we're going to work on more understanding the power of our mind. But in specific, we have to be settled with the idea that from where you are, nobody is coming to save you. There will be nobody who will come pluck you out of the street. If you were a child and you had a parent, you know, the parent will be watching over you and will come pluck you out of the street in the world and save you because you're loved and they don't want any harm to come to you. So the parent runs, not walks, and saves you from the oncoming car, right? The ego is demanding that there be some power that will make things right. This would be fair to the spiritual ego, that there is a reconciliation that would happen, that there is a God that is good and there's a devil that is bad, and you are innocent, and you somehow got caught up in the devil, but don't worry, because God is more powerful than the, this is why I learned in Catholic school, you know, God's more powerful than the devil, and then as long as you say the right things, memorize the right, count the this, and make sure that you show up on time for that church thing, and don't do this, don't do these 10 things, do these 12 things, and then God will welcome you back into heaven. But don't sin on the way, because then he will just give you up to the devil. You see the hero and the loss set up in the big religion thing. And the spiritual ego also believes that there's right and wrong. And the spiritual ego wants to drive you toward what it thinks is right and help you to judge what it believes is wrong. Smart, right? I mean, helpful. Spiritual ego does that. You will forever be in chaos because as the Course teaches us, what's right for you on one day is immediately wrong for somebody else and also for you on another day. But only throughout your whole life, every freaking time. Just about, right? There are a few glimmers, there are a few ways that you get to do kind, truly loving acts. You really can apply yourself to those things here. But for the most part, this is the ego's domain, the ego's world, and it will have it its way. So nobody is coming from heaven to show up at this level like a parent would grab you out of the street, will not grab you out of your body. Will never happen. It can't happen. And as you start to become aware of the gifts you have received in your creation, you wouldn't want it to happen. Because that will be taking back the most precious gift of all. It's truly good news. To the ego, it's bad news. But to your truth, and you know it, this is good news. You are so loved and it will never stop, that you would never be interrupted from any process you choose. So, with that in mind, and of course we'll be talking about this tonight, so you can challenge me, and I hope you do. But for that, for next couple of moments, we'll just have a little meditation on taking ownership of your mind with complete confidence, knowing somehow gratefully you don't need help. I'm telling you, no help is coming. Hey, Jason, no help is coming, but I want you to sit in the next 5 minutes and I want you to feel that. And you might have some fear around that. You maybe already have some understanding about that, but still, nonetheless, sit with the idea that where you are, the steps you must take for your awakening to freedom, for your return to love, these are steps you must take because of what you are, which means nobody will do it for you. So let's just sit with that for a few minutes. Welcome to where you've always been. Have you noticed? Nobody has come in and made you think anything, ever. Welcome to how you really are and always have been and always will be free. Oh, and by the way, don't worry. Nobody's coming to change you. Welcome to the inevitable. You're there now. Nobody is coming to save you. But not only do you not need saving, you don't want to be saved. It's impossible. The reason that you cannot be saved, it turns out, is because you are so loved. Your creation stands forever as this act of love. This is why. Welcome to nothing new. Is anybody dying to talk about that? I thought tonight I would skip the round robin. Jason, I got your mute if you want. Go ahead.
Well, extremely personal. I don't want to kind of take up people's time, and it's kind of psychological. But it's been coming up in my life lately. Before I was adopted, I had an alcoholic father, and when I was adopted, we had a house built, and there were steps down to the garage, and I'd be in my bedroom and keep hearing steps. Someone's walking down this, up the steps. I mean, my father was quite violent. I remember one time he came to the door of the apartment. Let me in. I'm going to kill your mother. So, I mean, it was that kind of childhood until I was adopted. So currently in 2021, I still have dreams that people are trying to kill me, they never get to the killing point, just like in the stairs. So it's kind of profound that we're having this conversation because I can't yet figure it out.
Is it the same dream or are there different dreams each time?
Different people killing, wanting to kill me, entice me to go here, someplace that doesn't feel comfortable, then the dream switches. But it's always my sense of death.
Okay. So the ego uses this method of thoughts to rehearse the perfect scenario for you. Right. Other people have different scenarios. Mm-hmm. You, for yours. Right. So try this tonight. Mm-hmm. Go to sleep tonight and don't worry that you may not sleep. You'll probably sleep fine. Yeah. Go into sleep tonight with this idea. Take one of the scenarios you remember or make a new one where somebody's coming to kill you.
Right.
Work it up. Hear it. Smell it. Think about what they're wearing. Think about, you know, where the door they're going to come through in detail, the whole bit. As much as you can, start dreaming it.
And say, what do you have for me?
What?
And then say, what do you have for me?
Well, yeah. You basically, it's that you greet them.
Yeah.
And when they come through the door ready to kill you, you say, welcome. Welcome to my dream. And they'll say, yes, I am here as part of your dream. What would you have me do with this knife? And you would say, cut some cheese, enjoy it, this cheese and apple with me. And continue to dream with that horrible character offering you the cheese or apple. You must do this with wonderful detail. And it will turn, as you do, go into nutso detail, it will turn into a pleasant dream. What you've done is you've taken the ego's charge into desperation and darkness and death, and you've co-opted it with a lucid dream. It'll really just be you chatting to yourself and telling yourself a story the first time. But nonetheless, a new wire at that juncture. That's why I say you have to really start with somebody's coming to kill you. Don't start with somebody's coming to serve you cheese and apples.
Well, you know what's interesting? I talked to a dream person. And she said, during the day, walk around and say, this is my dream.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah.
You didn't even know, A Course in Miracles.
Wow. I would not expect that.
So anyway, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I've worked with people on this reprogramming. It's amazing how it works. It's really what we're studying tonight.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty visual. So,
that's good. thank you, Jason. And by all means, follow up with me.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else want to chat about welcome to where you always been, that nobody's coming to save you? Okay. Great. Let's jump in. We're going to read tonight one of my favorite pages in the book referencing our study. And there's so much that I never in the Thursday night groups get a chance to talk about, because usually we're only going to this page just as a quick bite from the course to remember that you're responsible for what you're thinking, just to get another support, you know. But now we get to really dig in. So first, let's all go to what we're mainly studying, which is on page 448. Page 448 in the text, the responsibility for sight. And Jacqueline, I got your mute. When you're ready, would you read for us paragraph 2?
This is the only thing that you need to do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin. All to be given you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear.
Thank you, Jacqueline. Do you guys see that, what she just read? Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. That is really specific. Acknowledge, but that you have been mistaken. You have been mistaken. And all effects of your mistakes will disappear. Yeah. It's a quick invitation to taking the necessary power for your own awakening. He knows it's a reach. But that's why there's so much on this page to support your radical awakening. Course in Miracles is definitely a radical awakening. I just want to take a quick sideline for a sentence on page 29. Hold your finger here and jump to the front of the book, way up front. And this is where chapter 2 on page 29, I just want you to see one sentence on this incredible two pages. Drawing your attention on page 29 to paragraph 4, it kind of supports what we're going to be doing tonight. And it's got some nice, precise language so that you know what Jesus is really saying to you. Luann, would you read for us? I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 4?
The correction of fear is your responsibility. When you ask for release from fear, you are implying that it is not. You should ask instead for help in the conditions that have brought the fear about. These conditions always entail a willingness to be separate. At what level you can help it? At that level, you can help it. You are much too tolerant of mind wandering and are passively condoning your mind's miscreations. The particular result does not matter, but the fundamental error does. The correction is always the same. Before you choose to do nothing.
Anything.
You choose to do nothing. Ask me if your choice is in accord with mine. If you are sure that it is, there will be no fear.
Okay, what I want to call your attention to is sentence 6. Other than the whole paragraph is perfect for what we're doing tonight. Sentence 6. He says, hey, you. I'm talking to you who's trying to read this book. I know you. He says, you are much too tolerant of mind wandering. And you're much too tolerant of passively condoning your mind's miscreations. He's talking to you. You're making your own life difficult anytime you are not supremely happy, or anytime you are afraid, anytime you are predicting something bad will happen in the future. What are you doing? Nobody can do that but you. And nobody... You're the last person that would want it to happen. What are you doing, Ross?
So I'm looking at the next sentence, which brings up something I was, realizing. The next sentence, the particular result does not matter. So when you look at I am responsible for what I see, you could take that as if you're supposed to be careful what you manifest. But that's not what he's saying at all. He's, because he clarifies it here and says, the particular result does not matter. So whether you manifest wealth or this or that in the world, who cares? But the fundamental error is what matters. You're thinking that making a better dream is, you know, is important. Or on the other hand, what the sentence you picked out is saying, that you're letting a horrible nightmare occur because of your miscreations. Either one is still being involved with the world, and either result doesn't matter. It's yes. How you think about the result.
Yes. So. And just as you beautifully said, thank you, Ross, if you did do a bunch of wealth creation and you did a bunch of magical things in the world with education and wealth and maybe manipulating a business or, you know, becoming a king of a business or a family, and then you ate the right oil and then you got the right strain of marijuana, boy, it just sews everything together. And you invested your money right, you got the right friends, and on and on and on, and you thought, I made it. I've worked really hard. I've earned my happy life.
And I'm so spiritual.
And now, yeah, and it proves that I am loved, blessed by God, because this is my spirituality. And I'll prove to you I've been good spiritually, because look at all my wealth and happiness. And in my own peace. You are much too tolerant of mind wandering and condoning your own creations, good or bad. Everything of the world is of the world. And it is by definition not only limited, but a infinitesimal fraction of your abilities to have joy and love and to create. It's just laughable from Jesus' perspective. No problem with that. It's just that maybe you're ready to open yourself to go beyond. It's a very personal question. We need not deal with it now. We have before. But it's true for anybody studying A Course in Miracles. You're finding that the promises of the world not adding up for you.
Yep.
This is a spiritual material. Some people come to this book because it deals head on with death, head on with relationships, head on with anger. It deals head on with so many things that it's so hard to find in the world a coherent discussion. Many people come to the book for that reason, and then they disappear. But once they calm down and get their ego somehow cornered, they just put the book down and go back to life. But ultimately, and that's, of course, that's fine, right? Who's going to argue? But ultimately, this is a spiritual bridge. This book is a spiritual bridge that continues to form itself. As you cross it, it unfolds and gives you the path that you need to go from ego to spirit with your identity, your personal identity. That is
a good point. I would like to go back to our meditation a little bit, Ben.
Thank you.
Thing I got the most out of that meditation was, knowing who I am, I don't like to have anybody tell me what to do, good or bad. I like to figure it out myself. So it was very freeing for me in that meditation to know that nobody can tell me what to do. I'm the only one that can tell myself what to do. So I'm hearing from what you're just saying that the path is open, and I just have to choose to take the step to go forward on it.
When you want to.
Right. Yeah. And when you want to is when you're realizing you're not doing it.
Probably.
That's when I want to.
That's absolutely right. That's absolutely right. Yep. The gravity here is not choosing spirit, not choosing compassion from a higher perspective. You may choose compassion from a worldly perspective a lot, but, you know, it doesn't buy much in the long term. In fact, the Course says that actually brings you sadness for yourself. Being compassionate on the world's level turns out to be a new description of loss. Oh, that's so horrible what happened to you. I'm so sorry that you're getting sicker and sicker, or that this terrible thing happened to you. Let me tell you what happened to me. It was horrible also. You're not alone in being horribly treated by the world. Do you feel compassionate? Do you feel loved? No. Actually, what's happening, you may, right? There's a part of you that gets kind of a massage from that. What's actually happening is we're both celebrating loss. If you call your friend to moan about how bad things are, just so that they'll say, now they're there, but you're right, that you were treated horribly by that person or that job or that boss or whatever, or that disease. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. If that's what you're calling for, you're falling into the trap of getting support from the ego to make the world more real. If you're trying to reach out to somebody who is physically suffering, mentally suffering, to give them a hug and say, essentially, I get it. You should be suffering. Hey, you're normal that you're so angry, that you're so mad at the world. That's normal. That's okay. I had the same thing happen. Here's how angry I got. If that's what you're doing to go help somebody else, what you're actually doing is convincing yourself that they are a victim.
Yeah.
And so are you, which means you're going to stay there, right?
Yeah.
I call that world building. It seems like compassion because it sounds like you're being sharing and kind, and you know, misery does love company. Yeah, watch it. I'm just saying, watch it. Don't fall down that ego trap. And we might get to a couple beautiful paragraphs tonight that would hit that on the head. Jason.
A little bit separate, but on the opposite page, 18.
Oh.
I'm here only to be truly helpful.
Yeah, you mean 28. Yeah.
Number 18, the paragraph 18.
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah. I'm here only to be truly helpful. I just read that, and that's something took over at my mother's death for about 48 hours, as we've discussed. I did not do that, but it happened to me. And I can't yet create that in this world yet. Yeah. I don't know how to make that happen. But that surely describes letting go and letting God, or whatever. I don't know how to say that.
The part of you that's called Jason did not do that. That is correct.
Yeah, I mean, it's so beautiful. Thank you.
However, you did do that. You actually presently became present for 2 or 3 days in a willingness to deny everything, all the other stimuluses, every other thought. You decide to let all of those go and be present for 2 or 3 days. That who did that, his name is not Jason. It's you. It's you coming through with a type of sharing that the ego can't afford, which is why it disappeared and you went back to life and being Jason. Yeah. Good, good. Okay.
Jacqueline's got her hand up.
Oh, please, Jacqueline.
Well, today I did a journey in my mind because I have a friend who is going into battle with attorneys, with another person. And so first, you know, my thought was, I wish they would hire a mediator and try to work it out. They're both, you know, under so much stress and their lives, you know, they've known each other for over 20 years and they've lived on the same land. And then I thought, well, and I was holding them, you know, in the war. I've seen the war in my mind. And so I was realized that I was, you know, those are attack thoughts. Those are my own attack thoughts. So where I went with that to try to, you know, resolve that in myself, in my own mind, today was love created me like itself. Love holds no grievances. And so instead, what I did was, you know, meditate and first try to do my best to get in touch with my inner light and my inner love that I am, and then see the eternal loving being that I am, and see each of them as eternal loving beings and just hold it like that and let the rest go. So perhaps you could add to that, Andrew.
Yeah, your task in that scenario is to go still and get away from all the judgment and to see that they are free characters in a dream searching for love, just like you. Mm-hmm. And just your job is to give them the same freedom and hope that they perceive it and pursue it peacefully. You would not take away their freedom, just as you would not your freedom taken away. And so you have to come to peace and give them the freedom that you have and that they have always had and that they're exercising. You can't wish it be different. Careful, folks. Don't wish things to be different. Wish them to be peaceful. Because from peace comes everything you ever wanted. And so I wish them to be, as they go, sounds like a divorce probably, as they battle through that, if they can go to peace while they draw up their problems, if they each can go to peace, they're still working with the problems, the same problems, the list. But if they go to peace within themselves and then they go approach it peacefully, they will actually find a quicker, more affordable resolution that they can live with. When you enter in with attack thoughts, then you'll say things and do things that you will only know later that you wish you didn't do because you didn't mean it or you didn't want to have those memories, et cetera, et cetera. Same as any attack or any fight you've ever been in. So the bottom line is you must come to peace and know their freedom. You said they're perfect beings of God, not. Yep, fine. But you must come to peace over it, and you must not have a desire for any particular outcome except for peace.
Yes.
This is the blessing.
That's what I was thinking was, you know, I would wish peace, and yet, you know, if they do the battle, it's the battle in this illusion, and it just is. Accept it, but continue to hold them, hold the thought of peace in myself, but also the they are eternal loving beings. That's the truth of who they are.
Yes.
That's my thought. And they gave me, you know, I was able to, you know, whether I am able to, I'm going to sort of hear about it some probably, but, and I don't want to step in, you know, or try to talk anybody into anything. I just want to hold that as much as possible throughout it. And who knows, it might, you know, who knows what they'll choose, right?
You bet. Especially if you're close enough to be involved with either one of them. Or both of them, when you come into their presence, your job is not to say anything in particular or any particular guidance. It's to be peaceful. It's to be loving toward that person or both if you have them together. It's to read page 28. I'm here only to be truly helpful. That's my first goal, whatever that means. Barbara.
Well, I can kind of follow up on that because I am in that situation, as you know, and I really feel like the Course is striking me silent in a good way. I just don't have much to say because it's all bullshit.
It's all bullshit! I think the Holy Spirit has spoken.
and like I was saying last night, the simpler I wrote something this morning as I was doing my lesson, and my lesson this morning was there is nothing to fear.
Nice.
Well, I could glide on that one all day. I mean, and the instruction was just to repeat it as often as it comes to mind. If anything uncomfortable comes up, definitely jump on it with that one. And close your eyes every once in a while and let the words sink in. And, you know, I said yesterday's lesson was God is the strength in which I trust, which is another very simple instruction. And I'm just taking the instruction. And I feel fine. You know, it. In other words, it's really working in a really delicious way. And for as long as it works, I'm good. And, you know, it's...
I've been trying to break it now for, I mean, what, 20, 28, 29 years, a lot of years.
Yeah.
And you know, through lives and deaths and relationship changes and jobs and everything else, I've been, you know, leaning on Course in Miracles to see, what, does it still work even when this happens?
Yeah.
It still works, baby.
Yeah. No, I believe it. You know, it's working its way in. And I'm really appreciative.
Good. So happy to hear it. Yeah. So happy to hear it. I know it's a difficult time in the world to do such a thing. But it's rich. You don't miss it with your Holy Spirit. You can use this with your Holy Spirit. All the things you're going through with the divorce.
It's just a decision. That's one of the things I wrote. It's a decision between the ego,
yes,
that is fearful and vicious and all of these things,
yep,
and the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, you can trust the simplicity of what the Holy Spirit is.
Yes, and you can visit it with those, yes, lessons, and you just get still for a moment and get simple.
Exactly.
And you receive the gift.
Yes. And the ego's process is so, the conditioned thinking is so complex. And so when I find myself wandering into that more complex thinking, I just default to there's nothing to fear.
Yeah. You are paying attention.
I'm trying. And it's working. And so why not stick with something that works? I've gone for decades with things that don't work.
Yep. Beautiful, beautiful. You know what she's demonstrating? She's demonstrating page 2 on the workbook. Jump to page 2 on your workbook, very front of the workbook. It's right before page 3, if that helps. It's in the introduction. And it's look at paragraph 8. Barbara, would you read for us paragraph 8?
Sure. Some of the ideas the workbook presents, you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. This does not matter. You are merely asked to apply the ideas as you are directed to do. You are not asked to judge them at all. You are asked only to use them. It is their use that will give them meaning to you and will show you that they are true.
That's what you're doing. And you're leading the way for the rest of us too. As you go through this, and you know, you have your proof because you actually tried it and you came to peace, and you can't ask for more on this planet.
Mm-mm.
I will say again, peace is not the end. It is the goal when you are in fear, in hate, in chaos. It is not the end. From peace comes patience. From peace comes honesty. From peace comes tolerance, trust. From peace comes generosity. From peace comes gentleness, the opposite of attack.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with peace. It is born of this trust that you just called out by name.
And it feels like pieces of armor are falling off.
Nice.
These heavy things that you've been protecting yourself with.
Yes. Nice. Nice. Beautiful, Barbara. Well done.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else want to chat about meditation before we go on?
I just want to thank Barbara. That was beautiful.
Yeah. It
is. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
It's a beautiful experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I can tell from what you said.
Okay. Let's dig in. Go to page 410 in the workbook. Page 410 in the workbook. Look at lesson 236 on page 410. And Ross, I got your mute. When you get there, would you read that lesson for us in its entirety?
Lesson 236. I rule my mind, which I alone must rule. I have a kingdom I must rule. At times, it does not seem I am its king at all. It seems to triumph over me and tell me what to think and what to do and feel. And yet it has been given me to serve whatever purpose I perceive in it. My mind can only serve. Today I give its service to the Holy Spirit to employ as he sees fit. I thus direct my mind, which I alone can rule. And thus I set it free to do the will of God. Father, my mind is open to your thoughts and closed today to every thought but yours. I rule my mind and offer it to you. Accept my gift, for it is yours to me.
Accept my gift, for it is yours to me. Thank you, Ross. I rule my mind, comma, which I alone must rule. Okay, so the way that you got into this is the exact same path that you will get out of this. Your mind. You must rule it. This is your life. Occurs with your thoughts, with your mind, your experiences, everything is in mind. I have a kingdom that I must rule. Taking responsibility straight out.
So quit the mind wandering and the miscreation. You're far too tolerant of it.
Exactly. Welcome to where you are and you always have been. Jason.
Well, I just noticed immediately how much resistance I have to bowing down to something else. I guess that's some old, you know, Jesus freak mentality, you know, or whatever. It's like, I don't want to go to that lesson. I like where I'm at. And then I'm reading more. It's like, all of this, like just giving up the ego. And I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of scary.
You know, you're an addict.
Ahead of you, what's ahead of you? The land is scary. The terrain, I'm sorry. I got lost for words. The terrain looks very scary, giving up who and what I think I am, which is nothing.
Yeah. Ego thinking is an addiction. It's no different than an addiction to any other drug. You go to it because you think it works and you think it'll get you through another day.
Awesome.
Okay, ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead.
On the other hand, for me, if I rule my kingdom and I can rule it in alignment with what God gave me, That feels freeing to me rather than restrictive. I just have to practice.
There's no limit. There's no limit. There's no limit to what you can do with your mind, Milan. You can rule your kingdom with your holiness. Yes, you can.
But the only problem is you have to drop the I. Once you rule the kingdom, there's no I that rules it, because you are the kingdom. So that's the trick. You have to realize that there is no separateness and there is no specialness.
Yes.
That's what you're giving up.
The I gets redefined.
But as Jason said, it's nothing, but you believe it's something. So for you, as we've said before, it's real. So you're giving up what you believe is real, which is the I and the specialness.
So for me, the I has always, not that I feel this way all the time or know this way all the time, but for me, the I is all of us. Andrew told me one time that in the book, when it says you, it's talking about the you who is one. Does that make sense? The you who is one.
So
when I say I, that's the me who is one with everything.
Most of the yous in A Course in Miracles is talking to the separated, drunk on ego, hoping to get better you.
Okay.
When it talks about spirit, when it talks about Christ, that's the you who is one. When it talks about you in other places, like we're talking about tonight, it is the you who is one, but it's the sleeping Son of God.
Yeah.
The sleeping Son of God, which is what you're referring to, Luann, where I talked about you, is the sleeping Son of God who's dreaming of being separate.
And I guess for me, I can't rule my own kingdom unless I really believe in that. Or know
that's right. That's right. Just as the second sentence says, at times, it does not seem that I am its king at all. It seems like I'm a victim. Now you're the smallest definition of I, which is the separate body that is victim to whatever happens to it. Poor you. It seems to triumph over me, the world, the kingdom. Your own mind seems to attack you with worry, with fear, with guilt. Your own mind seems to attack you. You don't feel like you have a chance to choose peace because you're worrying so much. It's calling you out, busting your ego. And yet, he comes back to sobriety now. Jesus is talking to you, who Luann was talking about, who is actually the sleeping extension of God that is dreaming the dream. It has been given to me to serve whatever purpose I perceive in it. My mind can only serve. And so, you see, we're really having you apply yourself to being not the figure in the dream, but to being the dreamer of the dream. But you have to take a step up to do that. You cannot be with victim mentality, which is fear, which is guilt, and understand this. And everybody here is well on the spiritual path enough to understand what's really being spoken about here. But you see how this would not be understandable to somebody who is complaining about how the world beats them up so much.
Yeah.
But I can take back control if I say, today I give it service to the Holy Spirit part of my mind.
Bingo.
I still have control, which I want. But I know it's not the part of my mind that I think I am. It's that Holy Spirit, nothing to do with body, W-H, Holy Spirit part of my mind that knows it's out of time and space, that knows it's not a body, that knows it's eternal, that part of my mind I can give control to.
Isn't it compassionate that you have to do that and you get to do that? You separated control freak ego, you.
My fear of loss of control is more than the fear of death.
Amen, brother. He knows that. No, truly, truly, he knows that. So it's written very kindly that says you have a job to do. You're actually doing nothing. You're undoing. But let's not talk about it that way, because that would be too demeaning to what you've believed you are for so long. Sundari.
Well, it's kind of funny listening to all this tonight, because I don't want to be, I don't want my mind to be my kingdom. I do feel I'm saved, but only by stepping aside and just
another. Who steps aside?
I decide for me. You know, decide for me, just calling in Holy Spirit to run my mind, to run my body, to run my life, to run my thoughts. And it seems everything works better.
And what if you don't call on the Holy Spirit to run your mind and run your thoughts?
But he didn't understand. Like every single morning I download that, and it is that. It is that.
And you download that so that it is that.
Right.
And if you don't download that, do you get the ego habit?
It doesn't go like that anymore. No, I don't. It just because once would have been enough, but I need to keep doing that to believe myself that that in fact I have surrendered.
Good. So, I keep paying my insurance bill too.
No, but it's magical.
It is magical.
I ended up at a Seder at the White House today. Okay. I mean, like after the Seder that I was supposed to go to with live people was canceled, and I was sort of grieving a little about it. And then I thought, well, you know, wasn't time to be with live people. And then poof, all of a sudden I'm with the second gentleman giving and Biden and Harris. And it was kind of really magical. Me and, I don't know, 10 or 12,000 people. It was very
a little intimate group. Yeah. Jason, what do you got?
Well, I was going to say that I guess the course is working overtime with me, and I love it. When I'm reading the work in the morning, sometimes I'll just stop reading and just start crying. And I asked the Holy Spirit, why am I feeling guilty? Why am I guilty? I don't know what I've done. And so that seems to be what I could only articulate at the time. And I just allow the tears to come. But it seems to be, you know, a body kind of thing. It seems to be helpful, even though I don't have an answer that's rational or logical or even speakable.
So innocence is the path to understanding and awakening. Guilt, being actually guilty, is the path to further suffering and finding out that the world is the real problem you thought it was. But what's happening to you is you're feeling the weight of the guilt and saying, but I don't even know what I did. You're starting not to feel guilty, you see, and you're applying to truth. So the key to this reversal is for you to look at somebody similar to you, one of your friends or somebody you know is struggling who feels guilty, and to wish upon them an understanding of the innocence we study here. Wish upon them to see how everything that they think they did or they might have done wrong or what have you was always in an effort to bring peace, love, or just happiness. even the worst things were all done with the same motivation, just to arrive at more happiness. And so if you need to do that to other people. Now, let me give you another trick to that that's in the book. Do it to a perfect stranger. Go out, sit on a park bench or something, on a bus ride or whatever, and look at the back of somebody's head. You can't see their face. That way the ego can't start telling you a story. This is so powerful. This is lesson 121, lesson 161. Pick an absolute stranger even and say, I wish you peace today. I wish you to feel complete innocence completely. It will be, you will come to that in your heart, mostly because you don't know them and you can't, there's no room to judge. But you will feel the truth and the beauty of the innocence and the love that will have you wish them innocence. This will bounce back to you. But first do it with all your heart and soul, and I hope some tears come out. They did for me as I looked at perfect strangers and wished to them that everything go right today. Everything at work, everything with their children, everything in their heart, they just have a peaceful, wonderful day today. I look at the back of their head, and I just burn that love right in there. It's really powerful.
That's an example of you get what you give, isn't it?
Exactly. It bounces back. You could be high as a kite, and you'll know that if you can give innocence to them, you deserve it also. But not as a guilty SOB. Forget the details. The reason why they're so innocent is you don't know what they think they've done. That's not the point. Is innocence is a correcting factor itself.
You know, there was an Indian saint, Upandita, and who was it? Joseph Goldstein was with her. And when she got on a plane, she blessed everyone. And that only made sense.
Yeah.
This would bless people. And she was apparently this very happy, high, joyous person.
Yeah. Sundari.
The strongest thing that I do is this 5-minute mirror exercise where I say nice words, and after many years of doing it, it started talking to me. And the most important thing that it says to me every morning is it says, we're with you, you're not alone, we're here, we cherish you, we love you, we hold you. And then it says to me, you matter. And it brings me to tears every time.
Nice.
And I repeat back to them, to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And at that point, I have tears every day. And it's, for me, it's actually the most palpable, like this face saying these things to me. And it's a different voice even that comes up. And it is so real to me. And after I started doing that exercise a while, I couldn't go out and eat alone or to movies. And I started being able to do those things alone.
Oh.
Because I didn't feel like I was alone, because there was this mirror talking to me every day. And I think the deepest thing we can do for each other is to really see each other. And that is probably the one that I feel like sees me the most in a crazy, crazy way.
That's beautiful. And Sundari, it's very supportive to the big problem of the ego is you think you can be alone. You really, really believe that you can be alone. The truth of oneness is you cannot be alone. The experience of aloneness requires separation.
Yeah.
And because of what you actually are, you cannot be alone. Because of what you actually are, there's no such thing as alone. And there is connectivity to more than you can imagine. But it's not separate. Barbara.
So I'm directing this at Jason, because he was talking about guilt and feeling guilty and not knowing why. And, you know, the Course says we're guiltless, right? We aren't guilty. And this morning, that word decision was really important. And as I was just saying, it's like the decision for the Holy Spirit or the decision to listen to the ego. And I wrote, make the decision for guiltlessness and share it, which is exactly what you were just saying, Andrew, right? About sharing yes. it with the back of the head of somebody and feeling that. I was sharing it with my ex, you know, making the decision to for guiltlessness and sharing it. And it just seemed really easy to share it with him. And then when you think, I mean, I've talked about being in attack mode in weeks past, and just everybody I could think of, I was attacking. And so making the decision for guiltlessness, it's a decision. It's a simple decision. And then sharing it, it seems to be really easy to share it like a blanket. You know what I mean? Not just for one person, but if you make the decision for
definitely start with specifics like you did with your ex, as specific as you can get, and then you can throw the blanket out. It turns out it's way more effective to actually take a particular detailed back of the head, that person or your ex you do know a lot about.
Right.
If you can go that far, more power to you.
Right.
And more comes back to you.
Right.
Good. Beautiful. Very good. You bet. It's incredibly, it's too simple to be believed until you do it like right. you have. And now you know. You've lost all your excuses, Barbara.
I did.
Hey. Turn to page 361 in the workbook, page 361 at the bottom of the page. It says 361. At the top of the page, it says 190. Lesson 190. Bottom of the page is 361. This is where he basically hits the same nail again many times in a row. And so, in fact, Barbara, when you get there, would you read for us paragraph 5?
Okay, and it starts with, it is your thoughts.
Bingo.
Okay. It is your thoughts alone that cause you pain. Nothing external to your mind can hurt or injure you in any way. There is no cause beyond yourself that can reach down and bring oppression. No one but yourself affects you. There is nothing in the world that has the power to make you ill or sad or weak or frail. But it is you who have the power to dominate all things you see by merely recognizing what you are. As you perceive the harmlessness in them, they will accept your holy will as theirs, and what was seen as fearful now becomes a source of innocence and holiness.
There are several levels of teaching in that paragraph, as you might surmise.
Yeah.
What a gift. What a nice stair step for you. At whatever level you are, you'll feel something in that paragraph, and you'll say thank you. And something else may not be hitting you quite right, but something in there is. It hits several levels. It's really wonderful. And you notice the title of this lesson? I choose the joy of God instead of pain. That's what a miracle does. It reverses the pain that you're choosing, and you switch to the alternative. It feels a lot better. It's quite addictive. You'll start to like the peace, as Barbara was beautifully describing to us, in the face of otherwise adversity. It really does work. And you're waking up as you go along. There's this infinite and eternal benefits for you. And we'll talk more about that on another day. Okay, now, because we're running short on time, I'm just going to run you through a couple other really cool things I wanted you to see before we leave this topic and go move on to next week. Turn to text page 131, front of the book, text page 131. And when we get there, Jason's going to start for us, and he's going to start reading. Let's start with paragraph 5. And Jason, if you would read the last sentence, last three sentences of paragraph 4 on the top of that page, and then into paragraph 5. The ego. Wait, I got your mute. Go ahead.
So starting at 5?
Yeah, start with the ego is a confusion in identification.
Paragraph 4 or 5.
Just above paragraph 5. Start a little.
Yeah. The ego is confusing. The ego is confusion in identification. Never having had a consistent model, it never developed consistently. It is a product of the misapplication of the laws of God by distorted minds that are misusing their power.
Wow, so there you go. If you ever wonder what the ego is, there it is. And where did the ego come from? It's in those words he just read. We have all the answers in those few sentences about what happened. A misapplication of the laws of God. Hey, laws of God are powerful. And they're true. And they give. And they seek only to love. Oh my goodness, what is really going on here? I hope you're asking. I hope you're thinking, this actually could be good if I understood it. You know, things like that should be definitely jumping in your mind. Okay, Jason, rock it. Bring us paragraph 5.
All right. Don't be afraid of the ego. It depends on your mind and as you made it by believing in it, so you can dispel it by withdrawing belief from it. Do not project the responsibility for your belief in it onto anyone else, or you will preserve the belief. When you are willing to accept sole responsibility for the ego's existence, you will have laid aside all anger and all attack because they come from an attempt to project responsibility for their own errors.
That word responsibility all over this.
I know it's... But having accepted the errors as yours, do not keep them. Give them over quickly to the Holy Spirit to be undone completely, so that all their effects will vanish from your mind and from the sonship as a whole. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the part of including sonship as a whole. I think we often forget that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's part of you rejoining the sonship and knowing that you're not alone, as Sundari was describing. It's an inward journey, not an outward journey. The ego says to not be alone. You go out and meet with as many bodies as you can. But she discovered, as A Course Will Have You discover, the journey is inward, away from loneliness, which is the laws of the world, away from separation, which is the laws of the ego. That's what you go away from, to find that you're not alone, not going out and trying to put together a bunch of separate parts. It's brilliant, and it's the exact opposite of the ego. Thank goodness it's consistent throughout the whole book. Okay. Deborah, would you unmute yourself and then read for us paragraph 6?
The Holy Spirit will teach you to perceive beyond your belief, because truth is beyond belief and his perception is true.
Wow, that's like a poem right there. I love it. Would you read that again just for emphasis?
Yeah. The Holy Spirit will teach you to perceive beyond your belief, because truth is beyond belief and his perception is true.
Beautiful.
The ego can be completely forgotten at any time because it is a totally incredible belief, and no one can keep a belief he has judged to be unbelievable.
And that's what happened to Jason in the hospital with his mother. She died, and yet an undescribable peace came over him, and his own agenda just wasn't important, and he just stepped out of his ego for 2.5 days. You can do it any time. But anyway, please continue.
The more you learn about the ego, the more you realize that it cannot be believed. The incredible cannot be understood because it is unbelievable. The meaninglessness of perception based on the unbelievable is apparent, but it may not be recognized as being beyond belief. I'm going to read that again.
Oh, yes.
The meaninglessness of perception based on the unbelievable is apparent, but it may not be recognized as being beyond belief because it is made by belief.
Yes, calling out this belief as the weaker use of mind. Remember, belief is kind of like wish. Belief is like, well, I think it's true. I believe it's a good thing, and I want it to be true, therefore I believe. But belief is not knowing. Belief is in the domain of the separate mind. It's conceptual, not knowing. The truth is beyond belief, as our poetic first sentence described. It's the truth is actually beyond belief because the truth is a knowing, an ultimate understanding, not a learning. That's back into the ego. True learning here is an undoing of the false, not a learning of the true. You don't learn what's true. You don't learn what you actually are.
Jesus says learning is change. And once you have knowledge, there is no change because you're there.
Yes, it's a whole different dimension. And he also says, no use trying to explain to you what such a limited mind can't understand. That's a little insulting, right? But he says, you know, you're so drunk on separation, but there's so much hope offered here, isn't there? Oh, so beautiful. Last sentence. The meaninglessness of perception. Perception means it's out there, and you look at it, and you judge it, decide what it means, and then you perceive it. Now you know what it is. Okay? That's completely meaningless from Jesus' perspective. From the healed mind perspective, that's meaningless. That's something out there needs to be judged, right? At all. The meaninglessness of perception is based on the unbelievable that it is apparent, but it may not be recognized as being beyond belief because perception is made by belief. You see how you're still, when you're working with perception, you're still working with the drug, ego. Jason.
Talking a lot, but I was just thinking that it's an overwhelming, it seems like an overwhelming task to forgive everything, but that's the job here.
Your task is first to forgive something that actually means something to you. Some one thing, not everything. Everything comes naturally and automatically. Don't try to forgive everything because that would be a lie. Because it's separate things that have different levels of condemnation. Find one thing that's been disturbing to you and ask the Holy Spirit to help you see that innocently and forgive it naturally. When you see its innocence, you'll automatically stop judging and say, oh my goodness, there's love actually trying to be enacted. That's when you know the miracle has happened. And then you drop your thoughts about it. Forgive one thing truly, Jason. That's your job. And it unfolds from there automatically. Yes. Let's go a little over time by just a few minutes and read one more paragraph. Timothy, I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 7 the whole purpose of the course. What? We can't leave this out. We have to read this before we go.
Well, thank you for going into overtime. I'd like to take all the credit. The whole purpose of this course is to teach you that the ego is unbelievable and will be forever unbelievable, forever be unbelievable. You who made the ego by believing the unbelievable cannot make this judgment alone. By accepting the atonement for yourself, you are deciding against the belief that you can be alone.
Well,
let me I'll say it again.
Read that again.
Hope you're still there. By accepting the atonement for yourself, you are deciding against the belief that you can be alone. This dispels the idea of separation and affirms your true identification with the whole kingdom as literally part of you.
Oh, you gotta love that reflection. I hope Sundari's still there.
Capital.
Yeah. You know where we are, Sundari? You following along? You got to be on page 131, paragraph 7. It was apparently just for you. Go ahead, Tim.
Your wholeness has no limits because being is infinity. It reminds me, I am an extension of the thoughts of God.
Yes, you are.
Nothing is taken away from me against my will.
Yes. Yes, and you remain forever that extension. Right. You are forever an extension of God. You cannot be alone. You cannot be separate. You cannot be sick. You cannot suffer. And you can't even die when you understand you are an extension of God. You're dreaming of being a separate being with the possibility of all sorts of problems. Right. But that gets translated. Is you invite your Holy Spirit to see the sameness in things, what all things share, rather than focus on their differences. So you have you indeed have a kingdom that you must rule.
And I can't wipe the smile off my face. I wouldn't have it any other way.
That a boy. He missed the beginning of the meeting, I think. I don't think he heard
it. Wasn't my fault.
Yeah, but
I was late last night, too. That wasn't my fault either. I mean, yes, I'm so glad the Course teaches us that, you know, the Holy Spirit comes in and rescues us from these things.
Yeah, but I'm glad you were late because you got to be the second voice that spoke those words that you would be glad. You would be glad that there's nobody coming to save you.
Yes. Yeah.
But you understand how much you're loved. How much power you have to be creative, to be sharing, to explore. I mean,
how much power? Capital P. What's my source? Again, an extension of the thought of God.
What's your source?
Who is my father? Oh, he's the creator. Capital C. So what am I? I am also a creator. I am a son of God, not the God. I mean, I don't mean to be egotistical about it or get the order of kingdoms wrong. But that said, look at who my father is. Look at who our father is jointly, yes, all at the same time.
Isn't that beautiful how, with that frame of mind, Timothy, when you read that the Course talks about your inheritance with such lofty words, it really is, hey, look what you actually are. This is not a stretch. Right. Beautiful, beautiful. That's a good.
Gotta love it.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Okay, well, with that, we're going to wrap up our Thursday meeting. Thank you so much for coming to study Course in Miracles with me. This is so important work that we do this together and support each other with real heartfelt stories and see the progress actually happening. You know, it does work. It really does. You really can move your mind to freedom. And it is by your own choice. Nobody's coming to save you. No, you don't need saving. You get to save you when you choose. At any time, in the middle of pain, you can go to peace. And this is where you'll find its most powerful truth about yourself. You actually are spirit. You remain as God created you. Thank you. Let's do it again next week.
Thank you. Bye, bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
See you next week.
Yeah, everybody, have a nice week. Thank you so much.